Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everything in between, welcome back to the Kevin Clifton Show. And we didn't have an episode last week, so sorry about that. But that is because I've moved into a new house and it was boxes everywhere. And then I didn't have any Wi-Fi. I won't bore you with the details, but basically it all made it very difficult for me to do anything and record a podcast and get it sent off and edited and all of that stuff that needs to be done. So I'm really sorry there was no episode last week, but we are back. And I hope you all enjoyed the last episode, which was with Russell Brand, a good friend of mine and someone who's been a bit of a mentor to me over the last couple of years. We had a really good chat. I've wanted to do it for a while. Obviously, he's a really interesting guy. And yeah, like I say, a bit of a mentor and sort of one of my idols, but also a good mate now. And I just think he's got so much to say on a lot of things, but also he's a performer, he's a comedian and actor. And I think we've all got so much to learn from someone like him. So I waited a little bit to put that episode out. Then everyone was saying, when are we going to get the Russell Brand episode? So I finally put it out a couple of weeks ago and I had loads of nice feedback about that. So thanks very much. But this week, I've got a guest on the show that is bound to send the ratings plummeting, bound to send my number of listeners plummeting because no one cares about anything that she has to say. But I felt obliged to have her on. It's my sister, Joanne Clifton.
See, I'm making up for the week that you missed.
Yeah, basically. Probably about the same number of people listening. But Jo, why don't you list all the titles that you've won as a competitor and of the musicals that you've been in and obviously Strictly Come Dancing champion as well. So go on, just...
So 5 times British champion, some of them with you, 3 times Italian champion, European champion, World Show Dance champion, Strictly champion. And then I went into musicals.
Did you win Christmas special as well?
Christmas special champion, yeah.
So
won
two,
that as well.
Two glitter
balls. Thanks for reminding me, that's good. And then musical-wise, I did some fringe ones. I did Face the Music, Norma Jean the Musical, and Top Hat. UK tours I've done, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Flashdance, and Rocky Horror.
So lots of stuff.
Quite a lot. And I've written a book.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, this week's podcast is sponsored by Beyond Lockdown Empire, which has been written. So... you tell us about Beyond Lockdown Empire. You'll
tell us. Basically, me, Katia Jones, and my housemate Sasha Latoya, we kind of sat down in lockdown with Katia on FaceTime, obviously, and we were just chatting about our lives and what we've done, what we've achieved, and stuff like that, and talking about how we've achieved it, all our different like pathways and what was similar and stuff like that. And we thought to ourselves, well, why don't we just like give people some motivation, because we'd all had messages from people, from followers saying, you know, I'm losing motivation, I don't really know what to do in lockdown, and getting a bit anxious and stuff like that, and asking questions, what do you do to keep busy and all this. And we were like, well, why don't we just give them some motivation and tell them how we got to where we are today and see if it can relate to anything that they're doing and help them a bit. So we put on a workshop of 7 days and we divided it up into like 7 different categories, like preparation is power, talk your way to the top, how to stand out in a crowd, all this kind of stuff. And we did a 7-day course and there was a lot of performers on it and a lot of dancers and that, but we got other people on it, like a retired nurse, or we've had solicitors on it, yacht salesmen. You know, it was just
yacht salesmen
we had as well. We just reached out to all this kind of different career paths, all these people on different career paths, and it was a big success. So we did another one alongside dance classes and stuff like that. And then we thought, well, why don't we do like a condensed version and write a book? We're in lockdown. Let's just use our time to write it.
So it started out as like online Like an online course.
An online course.
That people could do.
An online Zoom course that people could just sign up for the 7 days with like a party at the end. You could do the 7 day course or the, and they'd get homework and like tasks and things to do. But they could also do one-to-ones with each of us or a three-to-one or a 2-to-1 where we could like hone in on them specifically and their chosen career path and what they need to do and stuff, goal setting, all this kind of stuff. And it worked so well that we did another one. And then, as I say, we just thought, let's write a book. So if lockdown continues or whatever, they can just go back to this book, go over it, or anybody who didn't do the actual course can get this condensed version of the book. They've got tasks in there, homework, and kind of there's a subtitle, 7 days to find your fire. Just helps people realize what they really want to do and helps them believe in themselves and show them a clear journey, a clear way of getting there. So yeah, but also like it's not just lockdown as in lockdown itself, that's where it was born, but also if you're struggling later on, when hopefully soon when this is all over, you're in a lockdown, whatever's holding you back, trying to break free from that. So yeah, the book's out.
They all came out pretty quickly. And so where can people
at the minute? Online at www.thelittlebookshelf.co.uk. That's where they can get it.
The Little Bookshelf.
Yeah. And that, or you can just go on any of our Instagrams or social media platforms and there'll be links there and everything.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm an author.
You're an author. We decided to do, there's a few different ways we could have gone with it. We could have talked about your career and all that. And we will do an episode like that because a few people have actually asked, you know, when you're going to have Jo on to talk about her stuff. But for now we can do, because I know a lot of people like the Strictly Speaking episodes.
Yeah.
So we'll do a Strictly Speaking.
What year, Kev?
2016.
That's a good year, that.
Yeah. So.
How did you do?
In 2016... it was one of my many, many finals. Strictly. It was your one final.
Yeah.
And you were dancing with Ore Aduba.
Yes, I was. And where did we finish?
You won. The year you won Strictly. Second.
But let's be fair, you did win it, 2 years later.
Yes.
With Stacey.
Yes.
But let's also say it. I wasn't in it anymore. So I won it against you, but you only won it when I left.
Yes, but you've only made it as far as the final once.
Yeah. It's because I was good enough to just go, whoop, there. You had to work and work. And
well, I mean, final. Most years, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah. Just not quite ready to take the glitter ball home, really. Until Stacey.
This is why I didn't want her on, everybody. As you can all hear, she's annoying. She's going to annoy you for the next hour or so.
I've annoyed you for all your life apart from 1 year.
Yeah. 36 years you've annoyed me. but we're sat here, it's like late at night. It's 11:30 at night and we thought let's finally do the Strictly Speaking podcast.
Yeah.
We'll do two parts talking about the 2016 series where you dance with the champ himself, Ore Aduba.
Yeah.
So, first of all, so start of 2016, so it was your third year, but it was only your second year with a celeb.
Yeah, I think my second year, I think it was the first time they had the extra pros. Like without a partner, and it was only me. It was the first year that they had 15 celebs and 16 pros, and I think that was because in group dances, it's obviously easier to have an even amount of pros because you can partner up basically instead of having one extra all the time. And there was 15 celebs, so I was the one that didn't get one.
Obviously. So you hadn't had a, like...
I had Scott Mills in my first year.
Scott Mills in your first year in 2014. you made week six.
Yes, yeah, all the way to week six.
Then 2015 series, so you were the extra pro without a partner.
Yeah, the only one. But did do the Christmas special that year with Harry Judd and won it.
So you won the Christmas special in 2015.
Yeah.
With Harry Judd.
I had done the Christmas special the year before as well with Russell Grant. We didn't win that one. But we won with Harry Judd.
Yeah. And then got a partner again 2016. Do you think that the fact that you didn't have a partner in 2015, did that, I don't know, was there an extra thing in you that was like looking to prove yourself, or did it give you an extra motivation, or did it have no effect?
Well, you know me. I'm quite competitive and I kind of function in that way. If somebody tells me I can't do something, and it's been like that all my life, I won't do it like an in your face kind of, okay, I'll show you. But I'll do it like as if, it's almost as if not many people would notice or expect it from me. But I'm like an elephant. I'll never forget things, and it really spurs me on inside to go, all right then. Well, you see. So I definitely went into my third year going, right, okay, well, I will show you all.
I'm the same because I don't think I'm that competitive actually now, naturally. When I was a kid, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But now,
tantrums galore.
But yeah, when I was younger. But now I don't think I'm naturally that competitive until like someone pisses me off.
Yeah.
Like until someone gives me a reason. And this is what, did you see The Last Dance on Netflix about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls?
I only saw a bit of it.
Right. So Michael Jordan was saying on there that like he needed that sort of juice to fire him up. Mm. If he was too comfortable, he wasn't as good a player. So he'd always say like if someone had something bad to write about him, if someone critiqued him or if someone told him you're not the best player in the world, so-and-so is, then that would give him this like fire and he would go out on the court and he'd play like a 9 out of 10 because he was Michael Jordan. So he'd still play like a 9 out of 10 on an average day.
Mm.
But then someone says, I think the other guy's better than you.
Oh, yeah.
And he would suddenly turn into a beast and destroy. And I reckon that's what probably happened with you, is the fact that you didn't have a partner in 2015 made you into like 2016 winner.
I've always been like that though. And even if it takes me years and years and years to prove someone wrong, I'll keep going at it. So it's like when I was dancing, competing, and I was going to go, I went over to Italy to try out with someone, and somebody had said, oh, she'll never stay there because she's too much of a homebird. She's not dedicated enough to dancing to stay there and train.
Mm.
Stayed there 14 years.
Mm.
I had like people say that I wasn't talented enough to actually win and stuff like that. Or if my dance partner would dance with this chair, it would be the same kind of thing. And so I would train harder until I got that world championship medal. Same with musicals. He was my dance coach, said to me that the only musical that he'll ever see me in will be in the back row in a church hall. But here I am today playing Leeds. Yeah. That's good. But yeah, no, I think definitely I did come back with extra fire in my belly to just be like, do you know what? It was the first year that a pro didn't have a partner and it was only me by myself. So obviously I was a little bit embarrassed as well. Mm. And obviously I think the papers went, I don't know, oh, why didn't you? Oh, discussing why I'm not getting a partner.
And the papers know. The papers know everything, right?
God,
they've got all the reasons.
So I came back and I wanted to show, well, everyone who watches Strictly, I wanted to show that I was worthy.
Yeah, well, it was, I know we were just talking about it before we started the podcast, but like it was my biggest motivator.
Mm.
The year I came on was, there was five new pros and I was the only Brit.
Mm.
And that paper basically made an arse out of me and went like, we asked for more Brits. Out of five, we just get one. And it said something like, seriously, Strictly, is this the best that we can do in the UK? This like pasty Kevin from Grimsby. And at the time, I remember being really hurt by it and thinking like, you have no idea. Why would you even say that? You don't know me. You don't know anything about me, but you've decided to judge me straight away like that. Like you've written me off. And because of that, I think that motivated me to go like, I'm not just gonna do all right on this show. I'm gonna be brilliant at this.
Yeah.
Just to show you, not even about me doing my best. It was like a motivator to stick two fingers up to them.
Yeah. Do you know the only time I did actually let the papers and the trolls affect me was, I think it was my first year. Well, I'm going into the second year on Strictly. Obviously, I was suddenly in the public eye and stuff and wasn't used to just being judged and criticised and people saying stuff about me. And I let it affect me because I do, it's my voice. Yes, I'm 36 now, but like, what, how old was I at the time? Can't remember, 30 or something like that, on my first year. And I've got quite a childish voice. I know I have. But the papers and trolls really went for me about it. And I actually thought about it. I remember Googling to see if you could have an operation to change your voice box or something to lower it. And
for a little bit,
I was every time on camera trying to like talk lower and stuff to sound less childish. And I'm a bit ashamed of myself for that, for letting them affect me like that. But then I was like, no, it's part of me. My voice is like this. Like, I can't change it, and I like it, actually. And do you know what? In the musical theatre world, it's probably got me some jobs having this childish voice. So anyway, there you go.
So then you've got that sort of like chip on your shoulder.
Not an actual chip.
No. By the way, if there's any journalists listening to this, that'll be the headline. Joanne had chip on her shoulder about Strictly.
Can't wait.
So you come into it and you meet the celebs. Did you hope for anyone in particular? Like, did you hope for Ore? Was it a surprise when you got paired up with Ore?
Weirdly enough, when we were doing that first group dance and they swapped everyone around, like as per usual, through the dance, well, I was Will Young. I was a partner with Will Young the whole time. So I was absolutely convinced I was getting Will Young. And I hardly actually ever spoke to Ore. Not because of any reason, just our paths didn't cross, really. Hardly spoke to him at all. But I was hearing from other people how nice he was and how talented he was. And he's got real potential. I was hearing that. But then, I mean, he'll hate me for saying this, but he was the only one that didn't live in London, and everyone was talking about that. And obviously, we always have to travel to where they want to train. So Ore was working in Manchester at the time. And so I think we were all like, oh, God, Ore's in Manchester. That means that we'll have to travel. So it's not that I didn't want him, but that was the only reason. I was like, oh, God, Manchester.
Did you tell him this?
I can't remember if I've told him this. He'll probably hate me now. I love you, Ore. But yeah, then I got him. And the thing was, when they partnered us up on the thing, we both did the exact same little dance towards each other. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, this is going to work. And then getting to know him straight after, like when the cameras were off and stuff like that, we just immediately clicked and became great friends for a while.
I sort of met him briefly before that because we'd done I'd done like a sport relief thing that he was presenting. It was like me and Anton had to like swim against each other on this swimming obstacle course.
That,
yeah, and Ore was the presenter. That's probably on YouTube somewhere, like sport relief, Anton and Kevin swimming or something. But Ore was like the host of it. So I'd met him then, I think. I think that was the first time I met him. And then when I realised he was doing Strictly, I was like, remember when we did that swimming thing? And then when I sort of first saw him in the celeb stuff, I thought, yeah, he could do all right. Like, he's got an energy about him. But, like, you never really know in that beginning bit who's going to turn out to be amazing and who isn't. But so you get partnered with Ore. Then normally you sort of get told, don't you, in the first week or two, what they are thinking for your first dance. By production. So they must have gone to you, right, Tango. You did it to Geronimo.
Which I'd never heard of when they told me. I hadn't heard that song before.
So that was their idea,
yeah.
The song.
Yeah.
And the concept of like the bench and sort of...
It was their idea of like a geek turning into a superhero. Well, it was a kind of superhero comic really, but I guess it means like he's kind of like he was not a good dancer, then turned into a good dancer or something. I can't really remember what it was. I know there's a comic I'm reading right at the beginning, and it's like Ori is a superhero.
Yeah.
There it is, Outstanding Ori or something.
So we're watching it for everyone at home, like if you want to watch it along with us, but we're watching week one right now as we're talking.
And you're reading
a comic on the bench, and he's the sort of nerd in his like little glasses and bow tie nerd outfit.
And then he does his cartwheel.
Oh, cartwheel over the bench,
that.
Nice. What I notice about him off the bat is like he likes getting stuck into like the acting side of it.
Very
like
natural performer.
He loved the sort of performance side and playing the part.
Which is what he's doing now. He's in musicals now.
Yeah, he's done great
since. He was such a natural performer anyway.
Yeah.
And just like a natural dancer. I mean, he hadn't danced before and he was just so natural, so talented. He had problems with pivots. Pivots is when you're turning together in a ballroom hold.
Stace had problems with pivots until the semi-final.
They're very difficult to do. Oh, yeah, there is a moment when he sticks his tongue out to the camera.
He sticks in that corner, he sticks his tongue out. Was that just off the cuff?
Yeah, he wasn't. We didn't discuss that at all. I mean, it was a tango, so I was like, oh, you can't stick your tongue out in a tango. And he was like, but I was enjoying it. The only thing, I think it was my fault on this, on week one, because Len told me, I've been rightly so now watching it back, that I didn't get into hold quick enough in the routine. That's not Ore's fault at all. That was my fault. I was excited that he was talented enough to, and with the acting, and I saw all that straight away. So I wanted to play on that quite a lot right at the beginning. Wanted to get that cartwheel in, which he'd shown me that he could do. But so that is my fault getting into hold too late. I think it went quite well for week one.
Yeah, and you can get away with things on week one as well, like in terms of the getting into hold and stuff. And
yeah,
I think it's important to tell the story, and it's important to like get over the character as well.
And I didn't have an issue with it. Chorus, but hey, do you know what? It felt a good time to start in the music.
Yeah, well,
but
I talked about this before on the podcast, like. Sometimes it's like, are you looking for a score from the judges to satisfy their sort of, oh, you should get in hold by a certain time? Is that the most important thing to you? Or is the musicality and artistry the most important thing to you? And that always came first to me. So like,
what, the musicality and
the musicality? Yeah. So like a lot of the times it does feel right. Within the 90 second setup of a song on Strictly, the structure of it, it usually would take off on a chorus. So on a ballroom dance, it usually felt right when you listen to the music, but that's when you should go into hold and go down the room. Like musically, that seemed to work. So that's why I tended to do that quite a lot. But you are running the risk of
your celeb and what they're thinking when you do get those comments from the judges, because I felt a bit like guilty then in it because poor him, he tried his best, he was only doing what he was told and we probably got a lower mark from Len because of that, and that's my fault, not his fault. So obviously from then on I made sure that we got into the dance quicker. I do remember an article actually coming out about that dance because he had some beige trousers. Again, he'll kill me for saying this, but I think it was Joan Collins was just looking at how tight his trousers was, and me. All the papers went mental about his crotch. Bloody hell.
He's a very good looking man, is all right. I'm not surprised they're all having a look at him. But yeah, a decent start, really.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
You straight, as soon as you got into hold, I noticed you went straight down the middle of the room to the camera.
Obviously.
Always a good tactic on Strictly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And I've learned that from you.
Always looks good. You learned that from me.
Obst.
Yeah, I used it all the time. Straight down the middle as it hits a chorus or a big moment in the music. Straight down the middle towards the main camera. Always looks good. Yeah.
Perfect. No, he was good. And even his frame, okay, like on the still picture there at the minute, like his elbow could be higher up and stuff. But for week one, I thought he was He did so well. He was brilliant.
Well, you've got 7-7-6-7.
That is not bad for week one.
Week one, that's a great score for week one. 3-7.
There, that actually is brilliant.
Yeah. So, was he nervous much, like to say before a dance or whatever? Or?
We had rituals. I know that probably not, we didn't have the ritual on week one, obviously, because it was the first one. I think he was nervous, yeah, but then when he got out, he always just wanted to go for it. That's what I admired about him so much. He would just go 100%. And he would train a heck of a lot. Like, I had to force him to take breaks, to sit down and eat and stuff. He just wanted to dance, 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 dance. And you could just tell from the beginning that he loved it. He absolutely loved dance. He had such a passion for it and for learning, actually. And he just put all his trust in me. And off we went. So we did get rituals during the season, which were to, like, two couples before us, we would go in our same spot and we'd have to go over the routine, like the whole routine and stuff. Yeah, we did, but I can't remember doing it on week one. But maybe we did on week one and then that's how it stayed, the ritual, I can't remember.
Then week two, you've got Cha-Cha.
So yeah.
They would have told you, like, quite early on, I would have thought that Cha-Cha's going to be your week two. Hot stuff.
Yeah, it was hot stuff. And there was a story behind that, why we had hot stuff. And I can't remember what it was. But I think in an interview or something, I mean, I've probably got this really wrong. You'd have to just look it up. But, like, I think he'd said he'd wanted to dance to hot stuff or he'd done some kind of dance to hot stuff somewhere.
He had some sort of link
and
to
so
hot
we
stuff.
Yeah, there was some kind of link with Aura and hot stuff. So, of course, we had the fireman theme. We did talk a lot about stuff there. I wanted to use the fireman pole. I wanted pyros and stuff with fire, but obviously it was a bit, you know, putting out
risks.
Fires and stuff like that.
Health and safety.
Well, yeah, apart from health and safety, like, what I was having him do was saving me from a burning building or whatever. I was going down that whole story as a fireman. But then we had to think about, well, if somebody in the audience or whatever had a bad experience about
didn't want to
upset anyone or anything, which is a valid point. So we just came up with that. We had the poles, we had the locker rooms when we were both firemen. And then
I've forgotten that you did this, like, fireman thing, because obviously Mike Bushell did it. Was it last year that Mike was on?
Yeah, actually.
He did the whole, like, fireman's thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
I've forgotten that you guys had done it.
Yeah, well, we had the glitter thing at the end. What's it called? A fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Just did it to the camera. But look, he absolutely loves it. He just goes for it.
Yeah, you can see, like, he's going for it with energy right from the off, and, like, the slight little sort of MJ moves at the beginning, and, like, he's full on energy. That's what I love about him. Like, you can see that he's, I don't know, he's just good for Strictly. When someone comes on with that kind of energy, they're good on Strictly.
He does go wrong in it, though.
Does he?
Yeah.
Hang on, we're watching
it
at the moment.
I don't think that the judges know. There it is, look.
Oh, yeah. Just near the beginning there, as you're side by side, he goes wrong as he's turning.
Goes slightly wrong, but I don't think... I think I remember no one mentioning it. And did we get quite good scores? What did we get?
You got 6-7-7-7. So the same score as week one, basically.
Yeah, I feel like someone didn't... I feel like they didn't see it. What he did have and he needed to work on in this, I remember the... We both were spinning together at one point, but he was having trouble with the spins. And also, like, feet turned in a little bit. We had to train them. some choreo with braces there.
Braceography halfway through. Yeah, you can tell it as you watch it, for anyone who's watching along, like, looking at on week two or A and Joanne on YouTube, like, you can tell he's such a performer as he's doing it. Some people are shy about performing because, and also, but not even sometimes if they're shy, but they're thinking about the routine. And so they can't sort of express themselves because they're just thinking what's coming next all the time. But he's such a natural as a performer.
He totally
like he just
gets,
loves it.
what the dance is about, not right, regardless of the themes. He also gets what, like, a cha-cha should be, cheeky or whatever they say it is.
Yeah, you can tell there's just a moment near the end where he sort of tells the camera to follow him.
Yeah, and
he almost does it with like a little wink.
Yeah,
there's this confidence about him, which is really nice to see, actually. And just throwing loads of energy at it. Like,
always.
It's always a good idea.
Always energy.
Always throw energy at it. but yeah, 3 7s and a 6.
Not bad.
So same score as week 1.
Considering Cha-Cha's like one of the hardest dances,
I think. Yeah, me and Stacey are getting 4s and 5s in week 2 Cha-Cha.
That's your teach.
Huh?
That's your teaching.
It is in Cha-Cha. I hate Cha-Cha. then we get to week 3.
So this was the changing moment.
I'll admit that at this point, so in 2016, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking that, I remember I started off doing quite well, you know, first couple of weeks, and I thought, you know, this could go really well. And I was looking at you and Ore, and I'm always sort of looking at all the other couples, what they're doing and how's it going for them. And I remember looking at you and Ore first couple of weeks and thinking, yeah, they can do pretty well here. Like, he's got an energy about him. Everything that we're saying at the moment, he's got an energy about him. He can do something. I was probably thinking at the time, I don't know if they're a major threat to us or not yet at this point or whatever. And then week 3 happened and that all changed.
Yeah, I think that was our turning point. A lot of people say it was week 4, our turning point, the Jive, but I think it's this week.
Movie week, you got American Smooth to Singing in the Rain.
Oh my gosh, that changed
the game for you and Ore. And I think for all of us, I think for everyone in the competition suddenly went, hang on, is Ore a contender? Do you know what I mean?
Like,
you
look at them and go, weren't we? Like, I think we were considered and Were only one and two, around middle of the board. You'd have looked at us, you'd have looked at Danny and OT.
Like, Danny Mac, obviously, like, brilliant straight from the off. And you're looking at them and going, they're sort of contenders.
Yeah.
And, but then after week 3, I think we all sort of went, is Ore a contender here? Like, are we gonna have to start worrying about Ore? So, I don't know, I'm guessing this was your pitch, Singing in the Rain.
No, it wasn't actually.
Was that?
They said it. And
excellent work, BBC.
I was very, very pleased with it. American Smooth is kind of like what I won my worlds in, show, dance, ballroom. So, and to get the foxtrot as well. I love old Hollywood classics like I Won My Worlds to a Fred and Ginger type dance, and this is a Gene Kelly dance.
Yeah, it's right down the middle of your comfort zone, this, isn't it?
Oh, I was just in heaven. Even the outfits, like when Vicky Gill first told me that I would be wearing a yellow anorak, I didn't know what to imagine. I was quite like, what?
Yeah.
How am I going to look good in a ballroom in an anorak? But then it's one of my favourite outfits I've ever worn. Just so beautiful. And he just looked so suave in his blooming suit and his hat and his tie. And we worked on his like hand placements and his fingers of doing like Gene Kelly kind of hand movements and everything. And he just got the theme. He just got the theme and the style of dance and the era. He just embraced it all. And I think he just got it perfectly right.
Yeah, like, I often talk about this on the podcast that a lot of people who are sort of hardcore fans of Strictly or, you know, a bit from the competition world or sort of the smarter fans that sort of feel like they know more about the ballroom and Latin is that sometimes they get very bogged down in the, you know, technical points of ballroom and Latin, and that's all they judge it on. But for me, it goes a lot deeper than that. And the characterization of a dance is so important.
Oh, totally.
And the technique is the tools that help you get to the bigger picture. It's not the full picture, the technique, but the bigger picture is the characterization and the actual sort of context of the dance and how it makes an audience feel. And Ore just nails that Gene Kelly feel.
I know we'll get to it probably in the second part, but like that's why I chose for the show dance again, another Hollywood old classic style dance, because I just thought he'd got that down to a T. He was perfect.
He was really good at it. He just, like, the dancing is great, But how can I even explain it? Like, hopefully everyone's watching along at home on YouTube, but like, for me, it's the slightly tilted head, and it's in the eyes, and it's in the characterization of how he puts his hands behind his back as he's skipping about the stairs. And
he even does, when we're in hold, there's one bit, I can't even tell you on here which bit it is, but we're in hold, and he does a little head wobble there.
There, halfway through, he does a little head wobble. Yeah.
The music went,
and he wobbles his head as he does
it. As if he was singing that.
That was choreographed in, was it?
Yeah. I remember choreographing it because I had to be really careful. I wanted to obviously have nods to Gene Kelly's actual dance. But I know you're not allowed, obviously, to take someone else's choreography same bit of the music. So I wanted him to go up and down the pavement on that first step.
I think that's for copyright reasons, isn't it?
For copyright,
you can't do
but
like
it's not on the same
exactly
bit
the
of,
same choreography.
Of music that Gene Kelly did it. And also, Gene Kelly did a really clever, like, up with it. I can't show you on this, but like a different foot going up and down.
Yeah.
So Ori just did that, did a different foot as well.
Yeah.
But we got it in all the nods to to the actual.
But that's what I mean. Even that head wobble, I think people that would get obsessed about ballroom technique or the competition world of ballroom and Latin, they would label that as sort of fluff or faffing or you know, whatever they want to call it, but for me that's the stuff that actually is cleverer and is on a much deeper level, is the stuff that makes the difference between just doing a competition, because for me that's just as themed as doing a movie week. If you're doing a straight down the line tail suit and ballroom dress, you are doing a competition themed foxtrot. And there, you know, ballroom dancing existed before that. Before what we now know as the accepted competition world.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can do a competition-themed foxtrot, but if you're doing a Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly-themed, like, there's much more characterization to go into. And it's not easy. It is not easy. Those details are carefully thought-out things. And also spontaneous moments that come... those spontaneous moments only happen if you're really feeling it.
Yeah.
And it's coming from a real place in that exact moment.
Yeah.
And you could do it 1,000 more times and the same moment might not even happen again. But that's what happens in that moment. And that's what transcends a dance for me, of being a higher level of dance than just here's my beautiful frame, here's my beautiful technique, here's my beautiful competition themed dance. And this to me was almost perfect.
The head wobble was choreographed because it went with the as I said. But his facial expression with like the eyebrow raised and stuff, of course that wasn't choreographed. That was what he would do naturally. There, I'm just watching this back. I actually was already pushing him this week because I put in a step there where he had to step a different side of me that you'd normally step, and that, like, it's very easy to gap when you do that, and I'd put it in the routine. I forgot that I put it in, but that meant that I absolutely believed in his talents and that he could do it. I also remember crying. I also remember crying in the training room when we watched.
Joe, you know when you shout "there," no one knows what you're talking about. Yeah. Just because we've sort of got it on a loop in front of us.
In the training room, I did get emotional with this dance. Like, I think it was the day before we went into the studio to do all the dress runs and stuff. The very last day of training, and we watched it back. And I was like, it's just right. It's just everything. I'm in my element because, as we said, it's my style. It's my speciality. And he was just doing it so well, and I was just so proud of him. And that's the first time I cried. Ori cried a lot in this series but that's the time I cried. Also, the blowing umbrella. We wanted to do the umbrella flip thing. So the amount of time we spent on practicing that flip with the umbrella to get it on the doom at the end of so we spent so much time, and then what happened, we got into the studio and it was a different make of umbrella.
Right.
So obviously when he threw it up, I think a few of them broke, and then others weren't like floating at the exact time that he'd been practicing, because it was another
make.
Yeah,
that's the stuff that stresses me
out. There was also an umbrella that they'd painted on. So obviously that affected the weight of the umbrella and how fast it was going to go up, turn and come back down again, because there was paint on it. So they had to send out or find, like the day before the live, the actual same make, because the one that we've been using was all ruined a bit, but like they had to find one that the exact same size, the exact same weight of that one, and get it delivered for the next day. It was all a mad rush because we practiced all week with this one style of umbrella.
Brilliant. But like, so I've just paused the video online, and if anyone can do this, like with the YouTube video, I paused it like a minute into the video. It's a 1 minute 57 video on YouTube, and I've paused it on 1 minute. And you two have sort of stood next to each other, and you've got this excited face looking up at him, and he's sort of giving you like this little side eyes, sort of cheeky, sort of knowing look. And it's that, like I've paused it on that screen, and you can feel everything that you guys are feeling just through that moment. And that's it for me. And then he goes into this whole side-by-side bit where he skips past you. And it's the way he tilts his head as he's doing, like, so he does like a sort of a skip and puts the knee up and leans to the side. So for people to know what I'm talking about. In the training room, explain it as a teacher in terms of technique. You can say you step on the left foot, you skip like on hop, the left foot, you sort of hop on the left foot and throw your right knee across and your arms can go like this.
Yeah.
And mechanically you can teach them all the stuff and you can tell them, enjoy it, smile, whatever. But the way he feels, this is what I'm talking about, like the way he feels the music, the tilt of the head, the look in his eye, the way he sort of opens his mouth and almost like, like there's such a wink in his face, if you know what I mean. Like it's that that takes it from being hands here, knee here, foot here, and oh look, the foot's pointed, so more marks for you. It's the difference between that and a top class dance. It's those little moments that like people that, even if people don't know what they're looking at, they still feel it.
And they
can still enjoy it and strictly because they feel what he's feeling.
I mean, I found
that's
myself,
what he was so good at.
When you put it on just before and I was watching it, I just found myself smiling. Even this, while he's like just whacking an umbrella on the floor, but you can see in his face, he's like biting his own lip.
Because that's a simple thing to do, gallop, but banging the umbrella on the floor. Like mechanically, it's not difficult. But the way he does it separates him from someone else doing exactly the same thing. It's the knowing sort of look in his face, the way he bites his lip as he's sort of really enjoying the moment. And it's those things that you can coax out of someone, but you can't really
teach it.
I don't say you can't teach it, because you can encourage. You can find out how to get it out of someone, but getting there is very difficult, and it looks very simple to someone who doesn't know. I think it looks very simple. They go, oh yeah, you just, oh what, you're giving him credit because he's smiling or biting his lip or that. But it's all the things together creating a beautiful moment in that exact spontaneous moment.
And then he was able to, as you've paused it now on a minute and 10. So he's gone from banging an umbrella on the ground and then swinging it round up to a perfect posture and going, come on then.
Yeah.
In his suit. Oh.
Yeah.
Boom.
And I think I remember watching it on the night. I mean, I'm sure I'd probably seen you in rehearsal and stuff like that. But I remember watching this on the night and thinking, Ori's going to be a real problem.
Yeah. I mean, credit also to like Strictly Bert, like doing the glitter there that falls down.
Oh,
it's
they know how to do old school glamour, don't they?
Magical.
On Strictly, yeah.
And then there's the umbrella. Boom,
the way he catches
just
the umbrella.
So happy
at the end.
For the blooming umbrella.
Yeah, that's an excellent number. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well done.
What did we get?
3 9s and an 8.
On week 3.
On week 3.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Really, really good score.
And then we get to the jive, but this is where everybody thinks that our journey flipped. With the jive, but I don't think so. I think it was Singing in the Rain.
I think it's funny because as I'm thinking and looking through it now, I think you sort of had a similar journey to me and Stace.
Mm.
Obviously, you did cha-cha in week two. Like, yeah. Started off with the ballroom dance.
Yeah.
Cha-cha in week two. And then had a movie week that changed the game for you.
Yeah.
Like, yours was Singing in the Rain. For me and Stace, it was Minions.
Yeah.
That sort of changed the game. And then people
you
remember...
You had some good outfits, didn't you?
Did you do Jive again in the final?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you went... So you week four, and everyone thinks that week four was that moment that propelled you. You did really well, and you did it again in the final. So we did, me and Stace did Foxtrot in week four, the Grimsby Foxtrot, to Hi Ho Silver Lining. And I think people saw that as like, that's when me and Stace started to do really well, and we repeated that in the final. So we started to have a similar journey. But this...
Thinking of your outfits with Stacey.
Hey?
As the Minion, and then when you were the Doctor Who...
Well, thinking about it also, you were dressed in all yellow for Singing in the Rain.
Oh my gosh.
And we were Minions, like all yellow. And then in week four, you were in black and white. And so were me and Stace.
Oh yeah. Weird.
Interesting. But you did Jive in week four. And if you change the game in week three, Jive is when you just took over.
Yeah. I mean,
it was mayhem in week four.
It was our choice this week. The music was our choice. But I remember we couldn't agree on, we weren't liking the choices that they were suggesting. Because I was like, with Ori, it was always like, I wanted him to enjoy dancing to the music as well. So I was like discussing with him, well, I guess everybody does, you know, if they like the music that's been suggested or that I suggest or whatever. And we just couldn't, we weren't getting inspired by anything. I can't remember the other suggestions, but then we found Bruno Mars. Runaway Baby. That we both just went, yes, love that. Jive was always an important one for Ori from the beginning. I think as soon as we were partnered up, he said that it didn't matter how far we get or anything like that. He just hopes that he could do a jive like Jay McGuinness.
All right.
It was very important to him.
And he was inspired by Jay.
And then actually Len Goodman said, when we had the comments, Len Goodman said, move over Jay McGuinness because Ori is here, or something to that effect.
Right, obviously,
he got so emotional at that. The jive was his one that he wanted to do, the only one that he wanted to do it, and he wanted to do it as well as Jay McGuinness. That's what he said from the beginning.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that he sort of... It's quite cool, actually, that he watched... That was 2015, Jay and Aliyah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, and that was an awesome jive that they did.
Yeah.
So he watched that, got all inspired, wanted to do a jive on Strictly, pulled it out the bag, and an awesome jive, and then Len mentioned it. I don't think Aliona liked it, did she?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Aliona went on Twitter and went...
Oh, yeah, she did.
Remember, she went, oh, well, if you're talking about stupid kicks and flicks, so she had a real go.
I can name exactly all the basic steps that are in this.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's like, you're allowed to enjoy all of the jives. Like, it's okay. but, yeah, what's brilliant about this is that he just kept the energy... All the way through, like it was just an absolute machine.
Well, I think it was from this week that I taught him actually something that I got.
Picking their knees up, look at him.
I know, he's just brilliant, isn't he? I taught him something that we did as kids, but I think either Dad taught us it or it came from you. Remember when we used to dance in Blackpool? And actually, I did it on my 24-hour jive that I did. You get to a certain point when you dance to Blackpool music that there's a key change. And you used to shout, come on! And Dad used to say, flip the switch or something point.
Next gear.
Because that would be, in the competition days, Dad would always say, maybe some of the judges are still looking to mark who's first and who's second in the last dance of the last round in that final. So you've got to up the energy and up your game in that last bit. And we all did it on the key change. And actually, it was the second, run away, baby, that I said to, all right, that's where you've got to go for it. And it's a bit where we run forward and kind of do the running man, that bit.
Yeah.
And I taught him, told him to shout, come on. So we would then. And in every dance then, we found a moment where he could flick the switch, so to speak.
Yeah.
He loved them flicks. Look at him go. He loved them.
Yeah. I mean, he just is... He's unstoppable. Yeah, and he pumps his fist at the end like bang. Oh, that's the one in the final that we've just watched, I think, where he pumps his fist.
Oh, okay.
So in week, because I think in week four, he just sort of had this look like...
He crossed his arms as
if to say like, well, that was easy. And so that's what I'm talking about. Obviously, we've just skipped ahead to like him doing it again in the final.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like when you've got a real feeling behind it, there are spontaneous moments that happen. And they can be coaxed out. They can be talked about what the dance should be about. You can move towards generating certain feelings in some dances. And then a spontaneous moment happens. And it will only happen spontaneously once.
Remind me when we get to probably in part two, the Viennese waltz that we did at Blackpool. Because there is something that he did in there which we had not practiced.
Right. So... Yeah, and those are the best bits for me. Yeah. It's like you can practice all the stuff, all the mechanical stuff, the technical stuff, but when someone's really feeling it and you're feeling it because they're feeling it, and you can tell, like, and then spontaneous things happen as a result of that feeling, that is such, to me, like a deeper level of performance than just going through the, like, dancing by numbers. But going through the mechanics.
And again, I think that comes from a kind of passion that you have. You have it inside you, don't you? A passion you like for dancing, or like I do as well, for singing. And just things just happen sometimes because you're so passionate and so in the moment. It comes out. And I was just passionate from the beginning.
And when it happens, you almost can't describe it, that feeling. And that's why that sort of piece of dance exists, because you can't really properly say it in words. But that's the difference. So you look at the final one, he pumps his fist at the end, because what he's feeling is, bam, I've done it. And that was in the final of Strictly Come Dancing. He's feeling this kind of, you know, footballer who's just scored energy. Whereas the first time he did it, it was like he had this sort of naughtiness about him enough to, as a performer, to go kick, 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 bam, 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 energy, energy, energy. And he went, and we could all see that he just used up incredible energy for 90 seconds. And then at the end, crossed his arms and had this look on his face like, yeah, that was easy. and that was a completely different energy. And that says to me that he's done it differently, two different endings.
Yeah.
That it was coming from a real place.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't just do this, put your hand here, because that's what the judges are like.
Yeah.
You know, and I love to see that, like when different things happen. Stace did a couple of things here and there, like in the Foxtrot, I watched back and went, why did you do your hand like that? She said, I was just enjoying it, because it was like we're skipping. Yeah. And I was just enjoying that moment.
Yeah.
And like things just happen in the moment if you're really in the moment. But yeah, I mean, you couldn't really fault this jive, to be honest. Knees were up, he had bounce, the technique was there.
Energy
to the end. You know, I mean, look, you can always find something. If you're looking to critique it, you always can, but like...
Feet turned in slightly sometimes.
Like no, there's no such thing as perfection in art, because that's not the point of art. So like the idea of it has to be perfect to be a 10 doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, you'd make no mistakes. You can make no mistakes, but it can still be a naff dance.
I know what I mean? If it's perfect, you've got nowhere else to go, have you?
Yeah. But what I mean is, technically, you can be perfect, but it can still be not worth a 10 to me.
Yeah.
Like, so a 10 just has to be something that you think is, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that you could have really done any better. And you got 3 tens for this in week four. Someone who 2 weeks ago I didn't think necessarily was going to be like a contender to win. I thought he'd probably go far.
Was it the first 10 of the series, or was it the,
I think it was the
or
first
was it like
10.
The first time someone got 3 tens in week four? Something like that.
Something
I can't
like
remember.
That. I don't know.
But, there was something.
But yeah, 3 tens and a 9. Craig gave it a 9, obviously.
I did actually choreograph, which I don't do loads, but I do it sometimes literally, right? So there's a bit where we kick and our arms go up in the air, and then we kick the other leg and our arms go down. And it was because I thought that the words were, hit a few highs, you get a few lows.
Yeah.
Right? Not till about a year afterwards did I read the lyrics, and it is, your poor little heart will end up alone. But I choreographed so you it choreographed with arms high and low.
Brilliant. Excellent stuff.
Poor little heart will end up alone. And I'm going high and low. Never mind.
So at this point, you must be heading into week five on a high.
Oh, yeah. How did we get...
But did that, how was he feeling? I mean, he must have been buzzing after that.
Totally buzzing.
Did he feel the pressure going into week five? Because coming off the back of that, now you've set a new standard for yourself.
It wasn't.
And quite early in the competition to be setting that kind of a bar.
I don't think it was so much the pressure. I think it was going from such a high energy dance.
To a low.
To a waltz. Yeah. To a waltz, which had to be so controlled, so slow, perfect footwork, you know. I mean, not saying that you don't have to have perfect footwork in a jive, but, you know, with your heels and toes and your rise and falls.
You're more
and
exposed
your sway.
In a waltz.
Yeah. And I think he got, not frustrated, but I don't know, it was just difficult for him to go from the high energy to something so slow and so, well, technically exposing, yes. But pulled it off.
Yeah, he did really well. I'm just looking for it to rewatch it.
I think our rehearsals that week, I think he was working down south, so we were in the hotel that's near where we were doing It Takes Two. Do you remember that hotel? Have you ever been in there? Is it the Marriott Hotel?
What?
Where we used to, some couples used to go to practice, and it was quite a small room as well, a gym.
Oh, yeah. I know
yeah,
that one.
And
yeah.
That was our
funny,
main...
A funny shaped room.
Yeah, so that was our main room to practice in as well. Which
for the
he
whole
couldn't...
series?
No, just for no. this week.
Oh, right.
So it was quite... No, we were up in Manchester most in the series. But this week we're in that room, and it was shaped funny, and it was small... So doing the routine as well and trying to fit it in, and obviously we had to try and cut corners around it as well, which then I kept saying, but on the day when we're practicing a long haul, you can't go around the corner. So it wasn't as, I don't think he enjoyed it.
Right.
As much as the others. Even though I still think he performed with and he had the right characterization, the right style, everything, but I just don't think he enjoyed it as much.
Right.
I think, yeah.
He overall, did he prefer Latin than ballroom?
Oh, gosh. I don't know what, I can't remember.
Oh,
I
gosh, it's really making me laugh.
Hey?
Oh, gosh, it's really funny. Go on.
I would say, gosh. Look at his thumb. The thing is with Ori, he's got some really bendy thumbs, so we know that Craig as well is big on thumbs
he's
and
a sticker
hole.
For it.
But Ori has a naturally really big bendy thumb, so we've had to work on that to keep it straight. What did you ask me?
Did he prefer Latin or ballroom?
Oh, I can't remember. I honestly can't remember. I just think he probably liked the stuff out of hold, even if it was a ballroom dance.
Yeah.
More. Because I loved the American Smooth and he loved the show dance. But they obviously weren't all in hold. Well, as this isn't what notices thumb again. But you can tell a little bit from his face that he's thinking in this.
Yeah, he's probably not quite as in the moment as he was in Singing in the Rain or the Jive.
And trying to like
whose idea was the song? You did I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston.
I don't think it was my idea. I think it was her idea.
I mean, straight down the middle for Strictly songs like this. Like, yeah. I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston. Like,
yeah, but you can tell even at the end when we finish the routine, he's almost like, phew, did it. Rather than, yes, nailed it.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a tough week, and I just think it was the difference from the jive.
But maybe there was a bit of pressure as well, because he suddenly set this bar of 3 tens.
Yeah, and then had
and you got to live up to it.
Really slow dance.
And with a waltz, do you know what I mean? Mm. It's not, waltz is not the easiest dance to get tens.
I was obviously pushing him as well to get like the smoothness through the rise and fall and doing the right footwork. And I think maybe I just gave him a load of information as well. So he was just, yeah, you can tell by his face, he was thinking about it rather than.
Mm.
But what did we get?
4 9s.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it was still a good dance.
Oh, no, it was still brilliant. Yeah. And his face.
It's just context, isn't it? You're comparing it. Comparing it to the jive getting 3 tens, like it's exactly. Suddenly there's a different context.
I think he performed it really, really good.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't quite as happy, but that's okay.
At which point you go into Halloween week.
Oh, gosh.
Doing the Charleston to I Want Candy.
That wasn't our choice, but that...
That was producer's choice of song.
Again, yeah. And if you look, one thing that we did notice that week, not it wasn't done on purpose, obviously, but we were the only couple who were dressed in like on purpose ugly outfits, but it wasn't on purpose the fact that we were the only ones in ugly outfits. It just happened that way. Mm. I remember like Daisy and Aliash had like beautiful, like, what is it, the Mexican?
Like the Day of the Dead kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just everybody looked really nice and had these amazing, and we were just so...
That was a joker.
Yeah, but it was still a good...
Yeah.
Out. Well, I'm not saying our outfits weren't good.
Yeah, yeah, the joker's a wicked outfit, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing outfits, but we were just the only ugly ones. Like, the only, like, really, like, oh, my God.
That's you most weeks, though, isn't it?
Oh. But I had, like, you know, the teeth. When my teeth blackened out and warts with hairs coming out of it, monobrows and stuff.
Which like was a, like was an amazing. Actual Halloween outfit rather than a sexy Halloween outfit.
We kind of liked that, that we were that couple, so we kind of enjoyed that.
And this would have been your first week to get like an outside choreographer in, Charleston.
Yes.
Who did you have?
Jenny.
She's wicked, isn't she?
She's amazing. I did have problems with swiveling.
Yeah, okay.
He did. He manages to hide it quite well. Craig noticed it, I think Craig said.
Obviously.
I think Craig said on his left foot or something like that. There wasn't much swivel. What actually happened was we messed up a lift. And I don't think it was either of our fault. I think we both went in wrong into the lift. And it kind of threw us a little bit. Although I thought the routine was phenomenal by Jenny. There's a bit where she did it all in slow motion with a big lollipop.
Yeah. I'm trying to look for it on YouTube now.
Yeah. The routine was amazing.
But you didn't have any other pitches for songs or anything like that. They suggested it and you just went with it.
Honestly, can't remember. But there was talk of I Want Candy.
So it was I Want Candy. So obviously the theme is like sweets and stuff. And you,
adult,
I liked it when you're throwing
like
sweets into the audience.
Yeah. Way and to I get think originally the idea was, who would then go to that, what's that nursery rhyme? Not Jack and Jill. Oh, Hansel and Gretel, that story.
Humpty
there.
Dumpty.
Pardon? You what?
Humpty Dumpty.
No. Hansel and Gretel, and they go to the house made of cookies or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was
Hansel
something
and Gretel.
Like that.
Yeah.
But then it just turned into a candy shop, and we were just like monstery people in this candy shop.
You look really stupid.
That was the lift went slightly wrong.
Oh yeah,
wrong.
The lift went a bit wrong.
Threw
and you
a
said that,
bit.
that put him off a little bit.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Slightly. We did think we'd be in the dance off. I remember that. But we weren't in the dance off here.
We were very
nervous about it. This is the bit, it was all done, the choreography was all done with the beats of the music.
Right.
Brilliantly.
Yeah, she's such a clever choreographer. Anyway, with all of this stuff, she does a lot of salsas and Charlestons.
Oh, she's brilliant.
Yeah, you both look like maniacs. But so on this one, you got 6, 8, 9, 9.
Look at us with all that blowing marshmallows in our mouth.
Still got 2 9s, but then...
What did Craig give?
A 6.
Yeah, he said something about swivels.
Yeah.
I remember that. And well, he wasn't wrong.
But then how was Ore with all of that? Because, like, for some people that would be, you know, going from 3 10s on week 4...
Yeah.
To then 4 9s the next week, to then a 6, an 8, and a 9 9. It's like, I mean, it's still good numbers, but a 6.
Yeah,
like, was he panicking at all?
Actually,
was he thinking, what's going wrong? Like, how was he?
Is it 4 years ago now? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Like, I do remember something happening from that jive. So, America's Breathe and then the jive having such highs, and it went down to the wall. So, although we got good scores, I don't think he was happy with it. And then to get a lift wrong and get a 6, and we thought we were in the dance off and stuff. It was a little bit. I remember him struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
With those 2 weeks. What was the week after that? Salsa?
Salsa, week 7.
Oh, no, he loved the salsa. But I remember these 2 weeks he did struggle a little bit with. But we got through it and we had fun.
Hmm. So week 7, salsa. To turn the beat around.
Turn the beat around.
An old Burn the Floor song.
Yes, it was. I love that song. I think that might have been me.
Your pitch.
I think so. Or was it the choreographer Jonathan's? It was Oksana's husband.
Oh, who did he choreograph?
Yeah.
Jonathan, what's his name? Jonathan
Platero. We had such fun in the training room.
Yeah.
With this dance. And Ore loved it.
I feel like Ore did love the Latin more than the ballroom.
Which is, we did get in the dance off here. And I think it was a bit of a shock because... What was our scores? Can you tell me what our scores were?
For salsa?
Yeah.
8, 8, 9, 9.
Yeah, we thought it had gone
well.
It
was a big score to get in the dance off in, yeah.
Yeah, and then we made the dance off.
Yeah.
So that was our first time. Obviously, it so that's yeah, so exactly. Went from singing in the rain, jive, then waltz was difficult, a lift went wrong in the Charleston, and then dance off. So it felt like we were going down,
like it hit this massive high and set the bar for everyone, and then started falling off a cliff gradually. Yeah,
but again, it was choreographed by someone else. It gave me 2 weeks of kind of chilling on a Sunday. Chilling on a Sunday because I didn't have to choreograph.
That was the best when you get those Sundays on Strictly.
Get those Sundays off.
Where you don't have to choreograph it. So it feels like an actual day off. Because you don't really get a day off from the start of Strictly to the end of it.
Do you, right? Spend all day Sunday choreographing.
But this is another one where he gets to go for it with his energy.
Oh,
and he properly performs it as well. And a proper, like, competition outfit, the Latin trousers and competition Latin shirt.
Hips going, look at them.
Yeah, he's got good hips,
He's moving his hips more than I'm moving my hips. His white trousers.
And he can shimmy, whereas your first partner, Scott Mills, wasn't quite as efficient.
Oh, please,
in
guys,
shimmying.
Watch back Under the Sea with Scott Mills to
perhaps,
see that
perhaps
shimmy.
Sometime in the future, we'll do a Strictly Speaking about Scott Mills' journey as well. Because
we'll have to.
We've watched tonight, just around ours, we've watched a couple of Scott Mills' dances. And if you just want another thing, like aside from having an awesome time watching Ore, just type in Scott and Joanne on Strictly Scott Mills doing, was it Samba?
Samba.
Samba to Under the Sea from Little Mermaid.
Oh, gosh.
It's quite something. Talk about being in the moment and spontaneous and putting your own stamp on a dance. it's some shimmy.
He does a shimmy. He does his own unique shimmy.
Yeah.
And so, hip wiggle.
So this was the first point where you had a partner who could do sort of hip action and shimmying. And...
Yeah.
So you must have been excited.
Yeah, I was laughing. Oh, well happy. And the routine was quite an intricate, mind you, so was the Charleston, but like there was quite quick detailed bits like this where we, I think we've already done it, but we like go on our heels and back to the music again and some lifts.
Yeah, it's a good dance. It's a shame it was a dancer.
It was a shock because we were in a dance.
But it's a funny one, salsa, because everyone assumes that salsa is like, oh, you've got salsa next week. It's going to be like that's going to be a good week for you.
Yeah.
Because salsa is all big and exciting. Whereas I personally see it quite similar to cha-cha. It's like, it's like generic time, like generico Latin dance time. Here's a Latin dance. And usually it's like competition outfit and shaking and doing hips. Do you know what I mean? Like and cha-cha and salsa fall into that same sort of territory for me, where it's like,
what dance didn't you do? You know, you don't do a dance.
What, in 2016?
When you won with Stacey?
We didn't do American Smooth. Did we do American Smooth? What was our American Smooth? Did we? Oh, yeah, we did do it. Yeah, Les Mis, of course we did. We didn't do Argentine Tango.
Oh. I didn't do Samba.
Oh, we didn't, and we didn't do Rumba either.
How did you not do two?
Because Couple's Choice became a thing.
We didn't do Samba. And just thinking about it now, I don't know why I didn't do Samba, because I think you're probably quite good at it with the hip action and everything. But maybe it's because
that's a mistake I think that everyone makes with it. I think people think, oh, Samba, really hard. But I think, and it is a hard dance. Like, it definitely is. But I think Samba is a lot easier to characterize than salsa.
Well, I remember Danny Mac's salsa. No, Samba.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And we were after him in something. I can't remember what week it was, but we were straight after.
But I just find like salsa and samba are both hard dances, and people always go, oh, samba is like the hardest dance. I don't think it's the hardest. I think it is hard, but I don't think it's the hardest one, because I think it's easier to be entertaining in samba than a cha-cha. A cha-cha is easier to teach from a teacher's perspective, but to perform, it's a lot harder to be entertaining in a cha-cha. And I actually think, aside from a couple of specific ones, in general, on Strictly, I don't think salsa is always one of the most entertaining ones. Apart from, you can think of ones like Jake Wood and Jeanette. Their salsa was unbelievable.
Out of this world.
And there's probably a couple of other examples that I can't think of the top of my head right now. But in general, I find salsa and cha-cha quite similar. Like, you think it's going to be this big explosive thing, but often turns out to be like quite difficult to make entertaining. Whereas samba's hard, it's hard to teach for the pro, but it's easier to make entertaining for the crowds. I think if you think of some of the sambas that have been on.
I think subliminally.
Go on.
Good word. I stayed away from samba because that was the Under the Sea with Scott.
Bad memories.
Probably just trying to teach Scott, bless him, the samba.
No, not bad memories, because that'll be the bloody headline now. Joanne has bad memories.
No, not bad memories. Just remembering how hard it was to teach him it, bless him.
Yeah.
And probably that's why I chose to leave that one out with Ore. Probably because I just thought it was hard to teach, and in the four days that we've got to train, maybe it was that.
But I'm looking at this salsa and I think Ore's done a really good job here.
Yeah.
Like, he really looks the part.
This is the intricate bit with the heels and then all the little taps and then wiggles.
Yeah, like, it's really fast. It's really intricate. He's got, like, he's charismatic. He's performing it. He's got energy. Like, he's got hip action. There's lifts. Like, it's all there. But like you say, if you look at the number as a whole in terms of characterization, and it's brilliant choreography as well, but like, you can't, the characterization of the Singing in the Rain is like completely different. Whereas this feels like here's a Latin dance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how great it is. That's my point about I think it's hard to characterize. And I don't know how Jenny does it. Like, she comes up with so much great choreography. I just think salsa is harder to connect to for an audience. I might be wrong, but I think they can connect to a samba easier.
It's
than
hard
they can
to make
to
different,
salsa.
Really different stories and stuff out of a salsa, isn't
That's
it?
What I mean. That's what I mean. I think it's fun to dance.
Mm.
Like, I always found this, like, especially like if you go to a salsa bar or whatever.
Yeah.
Dancing salsa is fun.
Yeah.
But it's quite hard to make it entertaining to watch, I think, on Strictly. Like,
yeah,
you talk
so
about like the top
do.
Couples in the world and all that, that's a different yeah. thing. But on Strictly, like, there's been, like I said, there's been some exceptions, but it's hard to make it the most entertaining one.
Because the themes are just basically that, really.
Even the if theme you think, is salsa.
Yeah, I mean, even if you think of Jeanette and
Jake.
You just met, Jake, yeah. yeah. Their one, the theme is still the same. It was
the theme
an incredible
is still
dance,
salsa.
But yeah. The theme is still salsa, yeah.
There's not often different themes. Like,
I can't remember. There was one judge's comment about his hips, I think. Must have been Craig's. I'd like to watch that back, actually, to see what they've said. Because I just watching it now, I thought he did really well.
It was
well.
Really good. There's a bit that I like right at the end where he sort of looks to the crowd and goes, come on, as if to like go make some noise. And I love all that because it just brings, again, it brings an extra little dimension. It sort of... It feels confident. It feels performy. And any time you can play to the crowd, I always think, why not? Especially in a dance like salsa.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be playing to the crowd. And I love it that he was doing that.
Yeah,
I think
you
that's
can
a
see
really
he's
nice
happy
touch.
With that.
Yeah, his face at the end, like he's happier than he was,
than
say,
the
with
waltz
the waltz or the Charleston.
Yeah.
But 2 8s and 2 9s.
Dance off.
First dance off.
Whew. Knocks you for 6.
Yeah. How did he cope with it?
I mean, it did knock us for 6. I remember that because we just weren't expecting it. We thought we were in the dance off the week before, and weren't. And then we were in this. So but again, he's very much like, okay, let's do this to the best of our ability. He didn't particularly get like it didn't freak him out. It just knocked him a little bit. Like what? But he went back on and just went for it. And we got through, thank God.
So yeah.
I was about to say thank gosh then.
Thank gosh. okay. And so we come to the end of part one.
To the end?
Yeah.
Oh, all right then.
Tune in next week to see whether they got through to week 8.
I can just see the ones coming up. We got Rumba the Paso Doble. I loved the Paso Doble. Vinny's lots of Blackpool. Oh, I've got so much stuff.
Oh,
about.
We've got some good stuff coming up, yeah. And obviously the classic show dance, which has gone down as one of the best show dances in Strictly Final history.
Probably one of the most expensive with their massive drums. Yeah.
But we'll talk all about that next week.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, and where can we get your book again? Everyone go and buy Beyond Empire, Beyond Lockdown Empire from
www.thelittlebookshelf.co.uk.
All right. Cheers, everyone.
See ya.